and sausage rolls, and we've been living together for about a year before we'd realised we'd even met. Working with Peter, it was so exhilarating to see someone who couldn't, you know, read and write or barely dress themselves and could produce something that bordered on coherence.
Yes. Yeah.
And he had lovely, lovely hair.
Right.
Lovely sort of dark hair.
Yes, yes.
And I used to put my fingers in his
hair. Did you?
In his hair.
Right. Darling.
Yes.
Darling.
Yes.
Be quiet.
Yes.
Peter Croxton was born in 1931 and was the son of two parents. His father, heard here,
hello,
was a greengrocer. His mother, heard here,
hello,
wasn't. It isn't until he was 18, Croxy's only means of communication was spoken poetry. Here, in an earlier interview, he is recalling his first recorded work, a response to the death of his beloved pet dog.
Now, Peter Croxton, we believe you've also got a very, very sad story about a dog now.
That's correct, Terence. It was the first poem that I ever wrote. I was 9 years, 3 months, and 16 days old. I had raised my pet dog since he was a pup, and I'll never forget that bitter, bitter spring morning, stepping out onto the veranda and seeing an automobile simply cleave him in twain.
What a crying scene, that.
I went to see if there was anything I could do, but I knew there was nothing. He was dead, dead, dead as you. And I ran back into the kitchen where my mother, I remember this very clearly, she was chopping something. And I was crying, and I had his blood all down my shirt and on my face and intermingling with my tears. And I simply said to my mother, Mother, a rover ran over Rover.
Now, Peter, I'm not terribly sure it's actually a poem.
Why don't you kiss my arse?
That's a bit strong, Peter. Will you not be having a few drinks now with me?
Yes, I'll have a pint of whiskey. Thank you very much, Terence.
It'd be a pleasure.
And keep it coming.
Getting into university through the back door, Croxy quickly established himself as one of the literary elite, but had yet to find his own voice. Here he is, in a rare archive recording, addressing the Poetry Society.
Working class, working class, starting class, girls.
Bravo! Bloody good! Bloody good! Bloody good!
And we call Peter Croxton to the lectern.
My friend Sean sat on the lawn with all manner of porn. My friend Paul sat on a wall,
Croxton,
holding a ball, and he did the front claw.
Oh, this is terrible.
My friend Peter was an overeater.
Someone throw
his father a wife beater.
Shut
he
it,
worked
Croxton,
as a party
greeter. Come on,
no,
let's
no.
Be back, Croxton,
no, let me finish.
Bread.
Let me finish.
Let
me finish. I'm a poetry. Ow!
In later life, Croxton became a keen environmentalist, and, refusing to commit any of his ideas to paper, he thought that the human face was the most expressive organism he'd ever seen, and therefore he elected to use this as a canvas for his poetry. Controversially, Croxton began to adopt children, favouring those of a fatter face, so that he could actually write on them. Earlier today, we spoke to some of the children and recorded their rather harrowing recollections.
I don't know why he chose to write all his nastiest poems about on my head. He never seemed to write anything that rhymed. He just write one-word poems on my face.
I've actually kept a photograph of one of the poems here, and in fact, it actually reads rather cruelly. Look at my face. There's too much bone. Is it any wonder my mother made me leave home? Look at my face, it's so wide you'll be sick. What are you waiting for? Hit me with that stick.
I was actually blinded in the whole experience because Croxton wrote one of his best poems on my face, and then he was so pleased with it he tried to photocopy it. He tried to photocopy it 1,000 times. By the end of it, I couldn't even see a thing. It's very traumatic, but I've managed to survive.